بسم الله. In London, we had about 3 times more, and I went, what? Are you serious? Alhamdulillah, it's not that bad. Is it permissible to pick up the Quran and recite from it when praying Qiyamul Layl alone outside of Ramadan? What's the answer to that? Yes, it is, inshallah, if you're praying by yourself. What does it mean by dua qunut is permissible but not continuously in every witr prayer? What's the answer to that? What does it mean by dua qunut is permissible but not continuously in every witr prayer? Yeah, do it in some but not all witrs. Why are Taraweeh Raka'as fixed in the Haram, in Makkah and Medina? If you'd like to write to Sheikh Sudais and Sheikh Shireen, you're welcome to do so. I don't know the answer to that. But if in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, they did 20 Raka'as, there's no problem with that, inshallah. But we shouldn't enforce it. We shouldn't make this is the best thing and that kind of thing. Worshipping on the 15th of Sha'ban communally, is this correct or is it a bid'ah? Well, praying Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha in communally on 15th Sha'ban is perfectly acceptable. But as for singling it out for extra acts of worship, and this is not reported by the Sahaba or nor the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How do we reconcile between the prohibition of fasting when it is difficult and that rewards are given in accordance with difficulty? First of all, are we prohibited from fasting when difficult? No, it's recommended not to fast if it's going to be difficult. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, or Aisha said, the Prophet ﷺ was not given a choice between two things except that he would eat of the two options as long as it was not a sin. So one should not induce hardship upon themselves. But if one is faced and forced to be in a situation where he has hardship, then the reward is in accordance with the difficulty. That's how you reconcile. What do you do in the case of moon sightings if the majority of people follow the observatory and calculations? I don't rely on physical sighting. Again, there are some scholars who hold that opinion, even though it's a weak opinion. But if the majority of people are doing that in that land, then you follow that. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, the fast is the day that the people fast. And break the fast is the day that the people break the fast. As masjids in the same locality may follow different opinions, it is difficult to know what is the majority of Muslims in the locality upon opinion. Do we follow the opinion of the Imam of our local mosque or the mosque we regularly attend? What's the difference? Okay, I mean, if you live in Bradford or any other place where there may be a lot of difference and there is no such majority, then what you should do is try either go with the biggest mosque or go with something that seems to be a sizable majority, or you can go with the local masjid or the masjid that you locally attend. I mean, in that situation, you really don't have much of a choice. Can I use nasal sprays? I don't know, can you? Vicks, Olbus oils, creams for hay fever and itching. Well, it doesn't mention about Ramadan, so yes, you can. And also, sorry, I'm a bit naughty when it comes to these the questions. But for hay fever and itching, yeah, these things are perfectly fine. Nasal sprays, as long as it doesn't go, you know, it doesn't actually, it only stays in your nose. It doesn't go in beyond. So these things are fine, inshallah, even during fasting. I take inhalers for my asthma some days. I need it more than others. And some days I don't need it at all. Can I still fast or is this makruh? It's like, the scholars have differed on this issue. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he says that asthma pumps are allowed. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, says that asthma pumps are allowed because it doesn't actually go to his stomach. Okay, it goes into your chest. And it's also not something for nutrition. So Allah knows best, that is his opinion. And he doesn't break the fast, he says. If you start eating and you have food left on your plate, the adhan starts for Fajr. Do you continue eating? Let me make this clear. When the muadhin says, "Ah," from Allahu Akbar, then you stop eating and stop drinking and stop anything else that does break the fast. Okay? Such as inducing vomit. What were you thinking? God. Honestly. So as soon as the muadhin says, "Ah," of Allahu Akbar, you stop. And the only exception to this is if you have a glass of water, nothing else, water, and it is by your lips and you're already drinking, then you can finish that glass. There's no other exception. And that's because that's what the hadith says. That's according to Sheikh Khalid Fawzi. Read the definition of a traveler. It depends on the custom of the people. What is the stance of a woman traveling without a mahram? The scholars have differed about this. The Prophet ﷺ said it's not permissible for a woman, لا يحلو. It is not permissible for a woman to travel the distance without a mahram. Okay? So the scholars, based upon this, the majority of scholars have said that it is not permissible for a woman to travel without a mahram, the journey of safar, whatever is considered to be safar. Okay? So whenever one can shorten their prayers, and stop fasting, etc., the same three out of the four types of journey is considered to be safar. That is the case in which they would not be allowed to travel without a mahram. Some scholars have said that there is an exception to this if there is security in the land. And I don't believe that applies in England. Okay, you go outside, even 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon sometimes, in winter, and people get mugged and every day you're hearing about crime. I don't believe that's the case here. But if you take, for example, in Saudi Arabia, for example, okay, generally it's a very, very, very safe place. In general, obviously you get the odd news item every now and then where something happened. But in general, you don't really see crime, in the open. You hear stories, everybody's always got stories. You don't ever see crime. You don't really, it's not like a regular occurrence. Especially like, bad crimes. It's like the odd thing. And it becomes huge news when it does happen. Why? Because it's so rare. So depending on where you are, if it is a place where it is secure, then that's fine. That seems to be the opinion of some of the scholars, including Imam An-Nawawi. A lot of Muslims stay up all night reciting the Quran and praying Qiyam in the middle of Sha'ban. They call it Shabi Barat. I thought we filtered the duplicates. Is there any evidence for this? If not, why do they do it? They often fast the following day. There's no evidence. If you want to fast the 15th of Sha'ban, that's perfectly fine. But also do the 13th, 14th and 15th. And do every month 13th, 14th, 15th. That's perfectly fine. But don't single out the 15th. Alright, don't single out the 15th. Because the Prophet ﷺ didn't do it and the Sahaba did not single that day or night out. If not, why do they do it? Allahu A'lam. A sister is serious about studying Islam. She lives in the UK and wants to study at Ummul Qura in Mecca with her younger brother. Would you recommend this? What would you advise? Yes, of course, if she has her mahram and she's going to go and study there and her parents are okay with that, then that's very good, alhamdulillah. I have a student loan. Do I have to pay zakat on that? Yes, if the money is in your possession, if the money is in your possession for a year more, then you must pay zakat on that. What is going on? What if the guardian or whoever it is that makes up the fast of those who have passed away does not know that the person passed away had missed any fasts? What happens to that person who passed away? Well, he should inform people, and that's why you should write it down and update it regularly. That's something one should do. If somebody doesn't know, he can. If he has a hunch, then he should try to estimate. I'm not talking about the dead person, obviously. We're talking about the person, the wali, the guardian. Estimate and then try to make that up. If they don't know at all, then there's nothing more that they can do. If I travel to another city and stay there longer than 4 days, 2 weeks, do I still shorten the prayers? Yes, because as long as you are a traveler, you can shorten the prayers. Also, is going to my parents' home in another city where I grew up considered traveling? Yes, it is. It is if you don't live there. Okay, if, and general, there are general, you know, understanding of people. Like, where do you live? And then you mention one city. If somebody asks you in that other city where your parents live, do you live here? You say, no, I moved to such and such a place. You know, so these kind of, you generally tend not to have a room specifically for yourself. You don't have a cupboard, you live from a bag or whatever. You know, all your major items are in the other place, your computer, your wife, in that order, are in the other place. So all these things indicate that where you live, okay? So you look at these indications, and so there's no fixed kind of rules. It's about what is customary understood to be traveling. The person is not traveling, but is finding it difficult to fast. I cannot work to usual level or feels faint. Can you or should he break his fast? Now, if a person is, this is, because unfortunately this is also a psychological illness, that some people that they feel that, oh, I can't fast, I can't work to my normal standards and all this. If that's the case, then no, it's not permissible for that person to break his fast. But if genuinely the person feels faint, in the sense that risk. Thank you. There's genuine risk of the person fainting, then yes, he can break the fast. But don't try to fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows your intention. Allah knows your capability. Sometimes people make themselves fearful of something, you know? And so, because I find, you know, when you say, e.g., cannot work to usual level, that's not an excuse. Or feels faint, that may be an excuse if there is a genuine risk of fainting. And secondly, the medics can back me up on this. One of the major reasons why people feel faint, right, is because of dehydration. Is because they're not drinking enough water at night time. So if you drink plenty of water during, you know, when you break your fast, before you go for Taraweeh, after you come back from Taraweeh, before you go to sleep, when you wake up for Suhoor, you're making up enough water for you to last the whole day. Right or wrong, medics? Any medics here? I'm sure there was a medic there somewhere. Okay. There's an Allahu Alam there. But generally, the scholars of medicine say about dehydration is that the person simply has to drink a lot of water. Now, if the person, even after doing all this, still feels faint, and, you know, there is a genuine risk, and a Muslim, pious doctor not a kafir, not a Muslim who's not practicing, but a practicing Muslim doctor, right? Practicing Islam, not just practicing medicine, advises that yes, you can't fast, then that's fine. Or you should, it's a risky, or it's harmful, then yeah, that's fine. But if you, you know, go fatwa shopping from a doctor, then that's not permissible either. If you travel for a course and you have no problem fasting, however, you require water to hydrate your brain to make the most of your course, is it haram to break your fast? If you're traveling, whether you need to hydrate your brain or not, you can break your fast. By the way, please take my jokes lightly. I'm not, you know, it's just I'm in a moment. So don't take any offense to anything I say. It was mentioned that oral intention has no precedence or was not a practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But isn't there a risk that people do act purely out of habit, not necessarily fully consciously, and in that case an oral intention serves as a reminder, instigator of the focusing of the mind and conscience? One of the guidelines of knowing when something is a bid'ah or not is to see at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, did this matter exist or not? Did the issue, the problem that you're mentioning, did it exist or not? And if it was possible to exist, did the Prophet ﷺ cure it in the way that we're saying it should be cured? So, if it's a risk that people do things out of habit now, could it be possible that people could have been doing things out of habit at the time of the Prophet ﷺ? Of course! So, if that was the case, then the Prophet ﷺ would have told us how to deal with that by using an oral intention. But he didn't do that. Rather, we were taught to make the intention in the place of the intention, which is where? In the heart. Okay, so, and this deen is until Yawm al-Qiyamah. It's not fixed for the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and then we can come along and change it because we feel fit, as we feel fit. Do nicotine patches break the fast? Nicotine patches, I'm not actually sure how they work from a medical point of view. But the general rule is if they provide nutrition, which I doubt, but if they provide nutrition, if there's any pharmacists or anyone here, they can help us out here. But if they provide nutrition, then it would break your fast. If they don't provide nutrition, which is my gut feeling, excuse the pun, then it would not break your fast. But also remember that smoking is haram. Okay? Smoking is haram. Allah says, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Do not lead with your own hands to destruction. Okay? Do not lead yourself with your own hands to destruction. Not just killing yourself, but to destruction. And you take even one cigarette, and you can look on YouTube the effect that it has on people. People have done experiments, and that, you know, you put water in one cigarette, how dirty the water becomes of tar and various other chemicals. Although there is, yeah, for the addiction, but at the same time, cigarette is much greater because of the effect that it has on the lungs, as far as I'm aware, in the sense that, you know, you have the build-up of tar. As far as I understand, I don't think that's the case with nicotine patches, right? But nonetheless, if one is addicted to something, let's say, as an extreme example, heroin. Now, those of you who know, if a person is addicted very strongly to heroin, and then you suddenly stop that supply, that person could die. Okay, it could cause a fatality. The Sharia does not tell you to just stop immediately. In that scenario, because the risk of a greater harm, which is death. So in that scenario, they would cut down until they stop. Okay? And this is what they did with alcohol, with wine. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopped it. He prohibited it in three stages, and you can read more about that somewhere else, inshallah. But this is the point. So even if it's correct, then it would be permissible to do that in order to get off the greater harm, and then eventually work towards completely stopping the nicotine patches as well. And that means that anyone who's smoking, please start from today to give up. Start from today. There's no time better than Ramadan. But start on a clean slate so that on Ramadan you're fresh. You don't have the headaches and all this. I was mentioning about tea also. Did I mention that today? I mentioned it yesterday. Tea is very, very addictive. And some people, they get a lot of headaches. And huge number of complaints about headaches has got nothing to do with a physical condition. It's to do with abstinence or withholding, abstinence of tea. Okay, of tea. So if you have a routine that you regularly drink tea in the morning at, you know, every morning at 10 a.m. or 7 a.m. or whatever it is, then start changing your routine. You know, one day do it after Dhuhr. Then the next day do it after Asr. Then the third day do it after Maghrib, so that your tea drinking habit has now become after Maghrib. If you drink tea 10 times a day, please go and see a doctor. But basically the point is, you know, try to either change your routine or give up completely, but do that before Ramadan. Don't leave it till the first of Ramadan when you're going to have headaches and you can't eat, you can't drink, you can't have paracetamol, and so on. Okay? So try to give up all these bad habits, or tea, in the case of tea, try to reduce it or change your schedule such that you don't end up breaking your fast, or, you know, because of a headache, and you don't feel the pain of fast as much. Is there a difference between sunset and iftar or maghrib? Nope, all three things are exactly the same. As soon as the sun sets, it is time for iftar. As soon as it is time for iftar, it is also the time of maghrib. So as soon as the muadhin says, "Ah," for Allahu Akbar, that is the time for maghrib, sunset, iftar, all at once. MashaAllah. What if a pregnant woman gets hungry at the time of fasting and that causes her to vomit? Can she abstain from fasting even if it doesn't harm the fetus? She gets hungry at the time of fasting that causes her to vomit. Yeah, I mean, if it's a sickness, then she fears for herself, in which case then she would be allowed to break her fast and then make it up later, inshallah. What is the ruling of the one who gets up for suhoor, drinks water, then goes back to sleep, misses fajr? Is his or her fast invalid? This is a very sad scenario. Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah, he said that the one who prays five times a day in Ramadan and fasts, and then after Ramadan he doesn't pray for 11 months of the year, this person is not a Muslim and his fasting was invalid. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, بَيْنَ الرَّجُلِ وَبَيْنَ الْكُفْرِ وَالشِّرْكِ تَرْكُ الصَّلَاةِ. Between a man and polytheism, or disbelief and polytheism, is leaving of the prayer. In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the disbelievers, and he said, إِنَّ الْأَحْدَ الَّذِي بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمُ الصَّلَاةَ فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. He mentioned the disbelievers and he said, indeed the covenant between us and them is the salah. In other words, the distinguishing line between us and them is the salah. So whosoever leaves it has disbelieved. And that is why one of the companions said, the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not consider anything, the leaving of any action, to be kufr, disbelief, except for the leaving of the prayer. Okay, so leaving of the prayer is not something minor. It's a very, very big sin. Very big sin. The Prophet ﷺ, once he prayed with the companions, and one of the companions known as Mahjan, radiallahu anhu, did not pray with them. So what did the Prophet ﷺ? He asked him after the prayer, he said, O Mahjan, why did you not pray with us? Why did you not pray? أَلَسْتَ بِرَجُلٍ مُسْلِمٍ. Look what he says. He says, are you not a Muslim man? SubhanAllah. In other words, the guy missed one prayer, what the Prophet thought. He missed one prayer and he said, are you not Muslim? You know, in other words, if you're a Muslim, you would have prayed. How come you didn't pray? The only excuse I can think of is if you're not a Muslim. And then Mahjun replied that actually I've already prayed, and so that he was excused from that. Also, in another narration, reported in Musnad of Imam Ahmad, declared authentic by Al-Arnaut, he says, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever guards it, talking about the prayer, whoever guards it will have a light and a burhan, a proof, on the Day of Judgment. And whoever does not guard it, he didn't say whoever leaves it, abandons it in totality. He says whoever does not guard the prayer, in other words, pray it regularly all the time, whoever does not guard the prayer will be on the day, will have no light or proof. And on the Day of Judgment, he will be with Fir'aun, Haman, Ubay ibn Khalaf, and Qarun. Who is Fir'aun? The Pharaoh of Moses. Okay, the one who said, قَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. What did he say? I am your Lord, the Most High. Who wants to be with this guy on the Day of Judgment? The one who doesn't pray is with this guy on the Day of Judgment. Who is Qarun? The earth swallowed up this person. Right? An enemy of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. The person who doesn't pray is going to be with this person. Who is Haman? He's the chief architect of Pharaoh, of Fir'aun. Fir'aun told Haman to build me a ladder, build me a staircase to the sky, so that I can see the God of Moses, of Musa, alayhi salam. This is Haman. This is the kind of people we're talking about. And Ubay ibn Khalaf, an enemy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. Now, the person who doesn't pray will be with these four people on the Day of Judgment. May Allah protect us from that. And therefore, many scholars have said that the person who doesn't pray is a kafir. There's no possibility that a Muslim can be put with these worst of evil people, ever. And even if you follow the other opinion that the person who doesn't pray is not a kafir, then still, would you want to be with this person? With these people on the Day of Judgment? Even as a Muslim, let's say. Okay, so, and that is why it is very important to make sure you guard your prayers, and that is the first thing that is to be asked Yawm al-Qiyamah. What is the ruling on the one? Okay, we said that. Is there a maximum number of days a person can fast in any month? No. There's no maximum days. Well, actually, I think it's 30. So I think you can fast 31 days in an Islamic month. Fasting in the North or South Pole? Oh, please. I'm married for 6 years now, mashallah. I've been practicing Islam for 1 year now, mashallah. My life in Islam, no conflicts with my wife. She still does not wear hijab or prayer. I kindly explained to her about deen. We now have 2 children, what should I do? This is something, if you'd like to email me about, inshallah, then we can talk about that in a bit more detail, inshallah. But make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always continue to give advice. And anything beyond that, then we can discuss that person inshallah. The breaking fast dua. Allahumma laka samtu. Samtu. Is it not authentic? The scholars differ. It doesn't seem to be authentic, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. What is authentic is ذهب الذمأ وابتلت العروق وثبت الأجر inshaAllah. I live in Slough. I'm very sorry. Just kidding. Just kidding. And plan to spend Ramadan in Reading. 20 minutes away. To look after my grandparents. Am I a traveller? Yes, if you're going to spend the whole month, then that is an example of a short distance for a long time. And therefore you are a traveller. When do you cease to be a traveller on your return journey to home? When you enter your city. When you enter your town or city. So the boundary. So once you come into your town, you're no longer a traveller. Some of these questions we've already answered. Why do masjids in the same locality fast and do Eid on different days? Who'd like to do a research project on that? And go and ask all the committees. This is my 8th Al-Kawthar course. Oh, alright, only show off. Just kidding. And I still don't understand when the respected shuyukh say this seems to be the stronger opinion. What does that mean? That means if anyone who doesn't follow that opinion, you get a hammer and you whack them on the head. When we say it's a stronger opinion, what it means is that there are other strong opinions. In other words, there are other legitimate opinions. And if somebody else follows that opinion, based upon evidence, believing that to be the haqq, the truth upon which was revealed from the Prophet ﷺ, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via the Prophet ﷺ, and if they follow that, even though it may not be strong, the strongest or the stronger opinion, but it's still a strong opinion. Okay, so therefore we should show tolerance to other people. That's what we say when we say this is a stronger opinion. And Allah knows best. According to who and how is that conclusion made? Well, basically, as a student of knowledge would study a book, initially he will study one opinion, the opinion of his teacher, and then he will start looking broadly within a madhab, but then eventually outside of the madhab, and he will look at the various opinions. And so the student of knowledge, he's not allowed to make ijtihad himself. He's not allowed to, come to his own, what's the word for ijtihad in English? Oh no. Juristic. What? Violin? Verdict. Oh, sorry, verdict. Yes, you could say a verdict. He can't come to his own juristic verdict by himself. He has to make what is known as tarjih. So, under the umbrella of the scholars, he looks at the various opinions and whatever seems to be closer. Of course, this is for a student of knowledge who has studied, not just for the layperson to do. To come to look for the stronger view, which seems to be closest in accordance with the Quran and Sunnah. Now, two people, if they look at the same evidences, it is very possible that they come to different opinions, and both opinions are strong. Okay, so this is what is meant here. I've always followed the school of Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, but want to know if I should do otherwise. No, it's perfectly fine in following the school of any of the four imams or other than the four imams. However, if a hadith goes against the madhab and you feel that the opinion, the stronger view is with another scholar, not that you come out with your own ijtihad, but with another scholar based upon evidences, then at that point it becomes obligatory to leave the madhab on that issue. We'll take two more questions, inshallah. Is it permissible to combine the fast of Shawwal with fasts that need making up for the previous Ramadan? I double the intention. Now this buy one, get one free offer seems to be spreading. You can't do that because the Prophet said, وَأَتْبَعَهُ, and he followed it. So you have to do done the Ramadan first and then follow it with the fast of Shawwal. So you have to make up first. I have what would be qualified as severe diabetes. Do I still have to feed a poor person? I'm presuming that you mean that you're not fasting. Okay? If you're not fasting, and it's severe diabetes and it's unlikely that you'll ever be able to fast in the future, then in that case, when we say unlikely, of course Allah knows best, inshallah, may Allah cure you. But we're talking about in general, what is generally seen, then in that case, then you feed a poor person and you don't need to fast. Does putting makeup or kuhl break the fast? No, it doesn't. What is the definition of sanity? Something that I'm not at the moment. Okay, what if an individual has special needs? Definition of sanity is when a person doesn't have his aql, his, you know, he's not in his right mind at the moment, okay? Meaning that, you know, he's doing things and he doesn't really mean to do those things. And I mean, people know when somebody's insane. It says here, is it somebody with difficulties or something? No, this is not considered insanity. Insanity means when someone is actually mad. He's, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't, he's not able to think for himself and so on and so forth. What if an individual is pre-diabetic? Are they required to fast? I don't know what pre-diabetes is, to be honest. So I can't answer that question. Is your fast valid if you start in a state of janaba? Is my fast valid if I start? Yes, it is valid. And then you basically make wudu, ghusl after fajr. What is defined as a poor person? I think I answered that question. £3, £7 example. This one's a good one. Is zakat due on money in my child's, quote, child trust fund account, unquote? We cannot access this money. As only she can when she reaches 18 years of age. So how can we pay from the maal when we can't touch it? Good question. I think you're going to have to pay from your own wealth. And then, you know, get them to give it to you later. Inshallah.